Hi, I'm Hannah, team manager with the Orange Arrow Players Association, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to coach student athletes to aim for success off the field. Please consider making a play by giving, posting a fundraiser, subscribing to our podcast and YouTube channel, and staying connected on social media at Orange Arrow PA. Visit orangearrow.org for more information. Thank you for listening. Take aim.
Welcome to Inside the Play Call with Orange Arrow, and I'm your host, Sean Robinson. And today we have a very, very special guest, my guy, Barry Frierson, aka Coach Barry. What's up, Coach? How are you?
What's up? How are you guys?
Man, thank you for your time, man. I really appreciate you. We are going to start this podcast all a little differently than we typically start out the podcast, because it was a couple of weeks ago that I received a text message from you. I shared it with others. The OA team was like, Sean, I know your eyes are probably sweating over there. So I would love for you to set the tone of this episode by reading what you wrote to me a couple weeks ago via text.
All right. So here's what I wrote to you a couple weeks ago. I said, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to do this for Orange Arrow. It makes my day seeing kids get happy over little things like getting Chick-fil-A. And I didn't realize how much of an impact Orange Arrow made on my life until now. Seeing how much Orange Arrow impacts the students I work with, I realized how much it really impacted me too. It's cool being able to push people younger than me in the right direction and mentor them and actually have them excited to see you when you come in and remember who you are. So I really appreciate you making me the first Orange Arrow student to be a coach. I love every second of it. That was the text.
This is year 11. You said it towards the end of text. You are the very first person to be part of the OA family as a young student athlete. And now as a mentor coach, it's pretty incredible, man. You are incredible. And that's why I had to have you on the podcast, man, so people get to know you and your story. So, Coach Barry, I'm going to ask you to take away a little bit, early beginnings, where you originally from, childhood, introduction to sports. Take away a little bit.
All right. So I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm from here. I grew up in Staunton Heights, started playing baseball when I was like three, went down to Morningside, got in a little T-ball league. My grandma wanted me to play because she played softball, so she got me started down there. So I started playing baseball when I was three, been playing ever since, still play till this day. But yeah, I grew up in Staunton Heights, ended up going to Sunnyside for elementary school, and then Starrett for middle school, which is where I was part of Orange Arrow. But that actually wasn't the first place I got put in the Orange Arrow. It was right. The Boys and Girls Club, yeah.
Yeah.
In Shadyside. So shout after that.
Shout out to the crew there. Yeah. What was there? That was the early beginnings of OA. And there were some good times there. I think about those, the two gentlemen who worked there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Carl, RIP to him, yeah. Such a support, man. That was sad to hear about the passing of Mr. Carl.
He was the backbone of that place.
Yeah. Now he definitely was. He definitely was. We had some great times there, not only in the classroom, but playing basketball in the gym as well. But yeah, I remember some of the crew like Ray.
Yeah,
I still keep in touch with some of those individuals. So yeah, so you're introduced at the Boys and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm. And then you guys came and did more sessions at my school. That's there. Participated in those.
And so that's middle school now. So you were elementary age when you were at the Boys and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because during that time, we were really doing programming solely in conjunction with after school programs. And then mm-hmm. part of the evolution of the work was that we partnered with school districts to do programming during the academic school day. And so then, to your point, that's where we got connected again, because we were doing programming there at your middle school.
Yes, so I was like probably sixth and seventh grade or seventh and eighth grade, something like that.
Yeah. What we're going to talk a little bit more about OA, but besides baseball, what other things were you interested in growing up?
I was definitely an outside kid. I like just playing outside, spending time with my friends, going down to Sunny, because I live in Stanton Heights, so Sunnyside got the basketball court down there. So everyone would go down there, play pickup, maybe do a little bit of like football, like tackle football or like two-hand tag football in the grass or something. I was like an outside kid, but I also like to participate in like groups like Orange Arrow, like just things that would like give you like life advice in a sense, or like doing like good. Like we there was this church group, there was this church group that would just go and do community service, like pick up weeds, trash, all that. Like I got into that type of stuff too, not only like just playing outside, but also like trying to do good and just have fun, be a kid.
Definitely. So I could tell early on that you are a leader. You are your own person. You're not afraid of much or of anything. You don't back down. And so talk about, where does that come from? And have you really always been that way of like a go-getter? You don't take any stuff, but then also like you lead folks. Like, talk a little bit about like the character of Young Barry.
So I'm actually, you know this, but I'm actually the third Barry. So like my granddad's Barry, my dad's Barry, and my parents are around, but I did just live at my grandparents' house because that was easier, and my dad had my siblings in the house, and I just wanted to stay up here because my grandparents had me when I was super young. So I think a lot of my character and leadership skills come from my grand, like the first Barry, my granddad. He would, for instance, here goes a story that always pops up in my head when I think of like being like a leader and just who I am. My granddad, I would always run around with them, their errands, going to grocery store, to bakery, going and get his mom's prescriptions for the day, all that stuff. And like he would always make it a point to like speak to someone. For instance, we go in the bakery. 2 weeks ago, the woman who served him at the bakery, maybe would have said something along the lines of, "Oh, I'm he asked, how's your day? Oh, I'm not doing that good because my mother's sick, blah 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 blah." And this is 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks later, he sees her and he's asking like, "Oh, how's your mom? Blah, blah, blah," literally repeating word for word everything that she told him, because you got a customer, sometimes they might come in and say, "Oh, how are you doing?" And they're really hearing that one ear and comes out the other. He's actually listening. He actually cares. And that's why so many people like respect him and always try and help him out and give back to him, because he led in that way. He actually cares about people. And I think a lot of my qualities come from him, and just seeing how much respect people have for him and me wanting people to respect me in that same light that they respect him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's a beautiful story. It makes so much sense as I started to connect the dots. And so, thinking back, your middle school, you're a Starrett, you're part of OA. What's some of your fondest memories being part of Orange Arrow as a young student?
So at Starrett, like Starrett was when I started to get into my like, "Oh, school's boring. Like I'm not in elementary school no more. Like I'm not really having fun. The work is getting a little harder. I'm getting bored." You start to see girls and try and show off for girls, all that stuff, just typical middle school stuff. So when Orange Arrow came in to stare it, usually I'd spend my days in lunch detention. Every single lunch I was usually in lunch detention because I was just misbehaving every day. But like Orange Arrow got introduced and they're like, oh, Orange Arrow's coming during your lunch period. You can't be in lunch detention if you want to go to Orange Arrow because you're gonna have to go to lunch detention over Orange Arrow. And mind you, like we spoke before, I already experienced Orange Arrow from the Boys and Girls Club. So I'm like, oh, Orange Arrow's back. I can't miss this in school. And it actually stopped, it made me start behaving so I wouldn't miss Orange Arrow. So
Wow.
that's really like the fondest memory when it comes to like Orange Arrow and its relevance when I was at Sterrett. But when it comes to activities and stuff, all I remember is having a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, a lot upbeat, positive. It was like a boost. Like you're middle of the day, you're at lunch, you're like, oh, I got 2, 3 hours left. It was like a push, like, all right, here goes a little push, up your morale, finish the day off strong. And that's what Orange Arrow did for a lot of kids I remember at Sterrett.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. I did not know that backstory. Wow. That's actually part of our hope. It is a not only a opportunity to grow personally, but it's a fun way. It's high energy and it's something that young people look forward to. And also OA as a tool that will be a motivating factor for young people to do the right thing for the right reasons. Like just like you were sharing. Yo, let me act right because I'm gonna go rock with OA. You know what I mean? And this was all about. And to hear you speak to that, man, that's really good stuff there. That's really cool. And so let's talk about high school. Where did you end up going for high school?
So I actually left Pittsburgh Public because, well, that's what Sterrett's in. So I left Pittsburgh Public in high school. Well, going into high school, I went to Central all the way up until COVID started, and I ended up leaving Central because I just wanted to like relieve the financial burden on my family during COVID because that's a, like a financially hard time, and like that's just, yes, it's a good education. I learned everything I really need to learn as far as building character from Central in my 2 years, so I thought that it would be like better to just go back to PPS and have that extra change in our pockets during that hard time. So I ended up going to U Prep after Central because that was my home school. Rocked out. Well, had I didn't even go there my junior year because we were virtual, but went through my senior year, rocked out there my whole senior year, and then graduated.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. And so then, after graduation, you decided to go higher education. And so, where are you attending school now?
I go to Point Park now, but I originally went to Clarion on close to a full ride academically. Was gonna play baseball there, but before the baseball season even started, I got like super homesick. Like it was terrible homesickness, and I had to go. So I came, well, before I left, I made sure that I found another baseball opportunity because it's really my passion. Like I was not ready to give it up. It was something that I wanted to try and pursue collegiately. So I'm like, I have to suck it up until I find another opportunity and a solidified spot for me to play if I was to go back home, which I did get at Point Park. I got talked to the coach, emailed him. He was super cool, was like, come talk to me in my office. Had to show him some clips and that whole process of actually making sure that I was able to fit onto the team and got into Point Park.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so, have you decided on a major yet?
Yeah, I'm a computer science major, focusing on cybersecurity. So that's what I'm majoring in. Originally a criminal justice major, but I seen the pay and it's high, but the schooling, you got to do 4 more years after you're done with like your first 4 years, as opposed to just doing cybersecurity. You get close to like sometimes more, and you could go into it right after college. And actually, with cybersecurity, it's a lot of coding. And I actually own a gaming server, and it requires a lot of coding. And I code most days on it with the developers that work for me. And I know, like, I'm familiar with code. So learning more on it in college, I think I'd be able to take on that as a profession. So that's why I chose that.
There, you continue to amaze me. You have a what? A business, a gaming coding business?
Yeah,
Break it down. Yeah.
it's a gaming, it's a basically a video game. It's branched off of GTA, but what it does is it's not your regular GTA. It's taken everything from real life and put it onto the video game, and people role play. It's almost like a second life for people. Like, people can role play as whatever they want in the server. It has to be strict to real life. It has to be completely realistic. And it's 100, it's like a second life. So, like, people go in there, they role play as cops. It's just as if you were a cop in real life. There's EMS in there, there's business owners in there, and there's literally everything from real life in the game. There's McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Rite Aid, everything. Porsche, BMW, Infiniti, all those car brands, anything you could think of, it's in there, and people are just living a second life. And the reason why I started it is because a lot of people use that as an escape from their actual lives, and it's a second life, like I mentioned. So, like, maybe they're having a little bit of hard times in real life, but there's a community built around that server. Like, everyone knows each other because it's a like a second world, and it's like virtual. So, like, things aren't as serious, but you're still bonding with people, you're meeting people, you're networking with people from all over the world. And a lot of people, like, take their relationships that they made inside of my server, and they actually take it outside of the video game, which is cool. But we always make sure to, like, make sure everyone's safe,
Yeah.
nothing that's not supposed to is going on, and all that stuff, because the internet can be dangerous sometimes. So
Totally.
we try and ensure that nothing like that happens, and nothing like that has happened so far. So it's cool, and it makes a good bit of money too.
Man, that's super dope, man. I heard you dropped out the end. A good bit of money too. Let's go. Let's go, Coach Barry. And so the picture behind you. Your screensaver right now is you engaging one of your cohorts that you're leading and within Pittsburgh Public Schools. So you and I, we always stayed in touch from time to time. Do you remember the conversation that led to you becoming Coach Barry?
I don't remember the specific conversation. All I remember is me letting you know, like, I go to Point Park now, and you're like, oh, you weren't always in college in the city. And I think that's what led to me becoming a coach, me actually being able to make those sessions during my college class schedule and whatnot.
Yeah, because now that you say it, it's coming back to me. Because you were at Clarion, and then I wasn't aware that you had transferred. I was like, what? Hold on, you at Point Park? Hold on, what's your availability? And so you went through the training and role playing, all that good stuff, and ready to rock and roll. Talk about your experience now within OA on the other side as a college student athlete coach.
So from the other side, it was like cinematic. It was like, this is real. Like, I'm doing this because, like I told you in the message, like, you were like a big role model, like, to me, especially when I was young, being in stare. Like, it was always Coach Sean, going to the sessions. You see Coach Sean always dapping you up, making your day, making sure you're all right. And everyone just knew, Orange Arrow, Coach Sean. Everyone knows. Stare it, Boys and Girls Club, Orange Arrow. You think, bam, Coach Sean, he's gonna hold you down, make sure you're all right. And I think that's what I was trying to do, the same thing that you did for me. I was thinking, all right, I need to do this for them because I know how much it impacted me and I know how much appreciation I had for you doing that for me. And I wanted to pass it on and do it for them because unfortunately, they didn't have the treat of having you run their sessions all the time like I did. So I had to try and replicate as best as I can what you did for me.
And you totally have been rocking it out. I know some of the other team members have been in the sessions and they've been reported back to me. It's like, Barry is rocking it out. Like Barry is doing an amazing job. And you don't have to do it like me. You do it your own way. You know what I mean? I'm here to support you and coach you up anyway. But you're well prepared, well equipped, probably in most cases better than I am to even engage with the young people. Yes. Part of it is your age and also your experience as well. And so when you think about OA now, share a little bit a day in a life as you prepare going to a session.
So usually, you know, so say we're starting a new week, usually on like Sunday, we either text, me and you either text or you call, we go over the lesson plan, let me know, break it down. If I have any questions, you answer those questions. And then I'm like, all right, cool. You ask me if I need anything. Usually I need a little gift card to go to Target, get the snacks and water. I end up doing that on Monday for the whole week before my first session on Tuesday. So I go and do that, get the snacks and water, get those in my trunk, leave them there. And then Tuesday, recently we've been getting Chick-fil-A. So I've been going to Chick-fil-A before the sessions. They've been taking good care of me, getting me right with everything I need, sauces and nuggets, all that good stuff. And then I go to the session, get set up, make sure that I remember everything I got to do, make sure I got all the materials I need to run the sessions. And then the bell rings. I go open the door, make sure the door stopper's in there, dap them up, over handshake, throw up
Let's
the number,
go.
Tap the hand. They make sure, see, they got their wristband so they could get their points. And then make sure I remember who attended that day and we get rocking out with the lesson.
There it is. Now, so share some of the stories that you actually shared with me as far as some of your conversations, some of your interactions you had with some of the young people that you've been leading in these sessions and they're appreciative, you know, they're appreciative of being part of OA and you being their coach. So anything you want to share?
Well, I'll share the most recent one first. Actually today, there's a student at Sunnyside. He's a part of the younger group. He was like, he came up to me, dapped me up with huge smile, ear to ear. He's like, yo, Coach Barry, I'm not going to lie. I didn't even want to come to school today. But then I remember we had Orange Arrow, and that's the only reason why I came to school, because my mom said since I've been being good, I could stay home today. But I wanted to come because we had Orange Arrow. I'm like, oh, for real? That's what's up. Like, that made my day that he came to school for Orange Arrow. And
bro,
he's told me before, like, he doesn't like engaging really. Like, he gets bored in class. He reminds me of myself. Like, I had ADHD at that age. Like, I was super energetic and he reminds me of the same way. So like, he doesn't like sitting down in a seat, so he can stay home, play video games, not have to eat when he wants, go to the bathroom when he wants. And he chose to come to school just to come to Orange Arrow. Yeah, so that was definitely
dude,
a cool thing to hear.
I think my eyes are sweating right now. it's such, wow, it's such a testament to you, to the work, to the curriculum. I mean, we're really intentional about creating an environment that is engaging, that is fun, but it's also learning. It doesn't have to be a traditional way of learning, because I know you play music, you know, we play music in the sessions. Sometimes they'll sit on a table like we cool, like we eating, and it's helps set the tone for a cool learning environment. And that is wow. Thanks for sharing that story. That's the first time I've heard that one.
That was today.
That was really dope.
But
One more you want to share before we begin to wrap up?
so I'll put two and one because they're kind of like this the same, like just like the same concept almost. One a female at Sunnyside, part of the younger group, got in a little incident the first session that she got in Orange Arrow, and she had to sit out a session. And when she came back to her next session, she was smiling ear to ear. But rewind, when she had to sit out that session, she came up to me and she was like, "Am I allowed to come to Orange Arrow today?" And I'm like, "You gotta talk to your principal. I'm not too sure if you're allowed to come today. I think you she's gonna have you sit out one session and come back next time." And she was kind of bummed, but when she came back, she gave me a huge hug, smiling ear to ear, like, "What's up, Coach Barry? I'm so happy to be here." Like she was excited to be back at Orange Arrow, and she has not had any problems ever since. She's been engaging, attending, like actually taking a leadership role. If we
Wow.
have like a prompt or like a quote that needs to be expressed or put into words, she's like her hand shoots up, like she's just really engaged. And then the second one, I came in to Sunnyside, and I had to sign in at the office. And while I'm signing in, the custodian has a grandson that goes to Sunnyside and attends Orange Arrow, and she's like, she pulled me to the side. She's like, "I never met you." I introduced myself, told her my name is Barry. She introduced herself, and she was like, "My grandson, he's a part of Orange Arrow." She gives me his name, and she's just like telling me, like, "Yeah, he's like giving me hard times in school. He's just misbehaving. He's misbehaving at home because he's from on punishment from his behavior in school. He's just like all over the place, and I don't know what to do." She literally said, "I just don't know what to do." And I'm like, "All right, cool. I'll talk to him," because she told me like Orange Arrow is the only place that she has seen him sit down, engage, and actually be cool.
Wow.
So he left at the end of the session that day. Everyone leaves, and I'm like, he's about to dap me up, a handshake to dip, and I'm like, "Actually, stick back with me real quick. I'm gonna talk to you." So everyone leaves. I shut the door and I'm like, "Yeah, I seen your grandma. I met your grandma today. She was telling me like you're having a little bit of problems with behaving in school and at home." And he was like, he was like honest. He was dead honest. He was like, "You know what, Coach Barry? She's not lying. I have been misbehaving, blah blah blah." We talked. I'm like, "Bro, I used to be the same way. Like, I used to not be able to sit in class. I used to misbehave. I used to get on punishment too. And you really don't gain nothing from it. Like, there's no point. I know, like, there might be girls that you're trying to show off for and all that stuff. And that's just how it is. That's what happens when you're in school. But when you get older, girls like mature men who know how to conduct themselves." And all that gets grown out of, like, once if you keep acting like that, they're not gonna like you when you get older, and you're gonna be older way longer than you're gonna be younger. So you just need to act how they're gonna like when you are older. And on top of that, I was like, "You want to play college sports, don't you?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "If you're acting like this, you might not get scholarship. If a coach sees you act a certain way, he might be like, 'Oh, I don't want him.' Even if you're the best person he ever seen play that sport, you're gonna be like, 'Oh, I don't want him.'" And he's like, "You know what? You're right." Next session, I see his grandma. I'm like, "How is he doing?" She's like, "Complete turnaround."
Wow.
I seen the student. I'm like, "Your grandma told me like you're doing much better. I appreciate that." And he was like, "Yeah, for sure." And that was that. He was basically like, he's gonna do better, and he did better. He actually followed through on it.
That's super dope. That's super dope. You handled that very well, better than I would have. So I'm glad you are there, coach. Because you would, again, like I said earlier, like that analogy was strong and you were able to relate. So you lead a group of a number of cohorts totaling about 60 kids.
Yeah.
What is your favorite activity or lesson that you have taught this semester thus far?
My favorite activity that I probably led was, it's hard because I like a lot of them, but the trust activity, the trust lesson when they actually have to with the cards, I think that that was like meaningful. And remember, we in this lesson this week, I actually switched it up. We played that game again and I switched it up. I had them play the first one so they could remember what to do. And then I had them do two different variations of it. I told them that they could talk for these two, and I had them line themselves up in alphabetical order from last name. And then I had them do it with their birthdays. And if they had the same birth month, it would go with whoever's date was first. And they had a blast. They loved it. This was this week. This let they loved it this week. So the trust lesson was definitely one that I feel like was the best and the one that they took the most in.
Now that's super dope. That's super dope. And we create the sessions and the curriculum for it to be flexible like that. So once you have the concept, just like you just made those adjustments there, you have the freedom to make the decision that you think that's best for your cohort of students you have. And that's really dope that you did that. And I'm glad they loving it.
And another thing that we like went completely over our head mentioning in this podcast at least is the fact that I actually went to Sunnyside. And actually every time I go in there and the teachers all know who are in OA now, and being that I already have a relationship with those teachers because I went to the school, they let me know like, yeah, this student's been having a rough week. This student's been doing this, the student's been doing that. And it's like cool because I got that bond with them and I got the bond with the student too. So I'm able to actually like be in the middle and help the teacher and help the student at the same time because I know how the teacher is, I know how the student is, and I can usually like mend that and get them to do what they need to do in class. So that's actually been cool too. And the teacher's actually I've had more than a few teachers thank me and be like, after I told you the student was doing this, it actually improved. Maybe not right away, but gradually it improved. And a couple of them did thank me and they thanked me for the work. They thanked me for Orange Arrow. They said it's a great program. They wish to have us back next year and the year after that and the year after that. And it's real cool. It's definitely helpful that I went to that school because I feel like it allows me to help more than I would have been able to help if I didn't go to the school. It's like an extra help outside of what Orange Era already does.
Now that is super dope because I remember we went there on the recruitment visit to let the kids know who we are, what we do, and some teachers, Barry, Barry, Barry. So that's actually really dope. What a great story. What a great story. I gotta share that with some people at Pittsburgh Public Schools. They need to do a feature. Come on, y'all. Come on now. They need a feature, man. Highlight our guy. I'm gonna end with the questions that I normally start with, but I'm gonna end with this. If you could only listen to one musical artist for 30 days straight, their entire catalog, who are you selecting?
That's hard. I think I would probably go with J. Cole.
Ooh.
I think I'd go with J. Cole only because, and I was about to say Rod Wave, but Rod Wave hasn't been around as long as J. Cole. And I feel like I would be able to stretch out that 30-day period with J. Cole without a doubt. Rod Wave, I probably have to listen to a song three, four times. But J. Cole, you could probably listen to a song once or twice and not have to listen to it again.
I could dig it. I could dig it. I dig it. I'm actually looking forward to his new album. You hear the rumblings. He's dropping little snippets here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully he drops something here in the near future next month or so, so we get some new J. Cole
Yeah,
music.
that would be cool. Yeah.
Super dope. Coach Barry, thank you for your time, my guy. Truly,
Yeah.
truly appreciate you, man. OA family for life. You know how we rock.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
My guy, take aim.